Good evening to each one. Blessing to be here, preferably back there, but we're here, and we are blessed to be able to worship God together and get to know more of our brothers and sisters. My family's a lot bigger than I thought, and so, no, not that I thought, than I'd seen before, so it's great to see more brothers and sisters in Christ and be able to worship together and enjoy the fellowship around God's Word this week. What a blessing. What a blessing. Channels of God's love. God's love. I'll warn you right up front, I'm not going to exhaust the subject. God's love is beyond what we can comprehend, beyond what we can talk about in a short time here. And it's very powerful. And it is something that all of us are totally unworthy of. But God loves us. Not just because he made us and said, oh, you know what, I made these folks, I'm going to have to love them now. But he chose to love us. He wants to love us, and his love is great and powerful beyond what we can describe tonight. Channels of that love. Now let's think for a moment. We need to be channels of God's love. What is a channel? A channel is simply something where a product flows through, right? Right? So it comes in and goes out. It doesn't stay in there. The channel is somewhat affected, you know, simply if you take a pipe or something like that and run some water through it, this pipe gets wet. And so, you know, there's It affects what it goes through, the channel that it goes through. And so this channel is not a selfish reservoir, okay? A channel is not a selfish reservoir. If we think about channels of God's love, it's not God just pouring this love into me so that I'm so blessed and I've got all these things to enjoy and I can just really enjoy life. That's really not why God pours the stuff into us. We've been made and we've been created to bring God glory in all that we do. And so we're simply a channel. Now, some people are selfish reservoirs, okay? I meet a lot of people, customers at home, and, oh, they talk about how blessed they are and these blessings that they got from God. And in different times I wonder, and I should start asking them, so what is this, where it stays, or is this going to go through, you know? Or are you going to show this to others, you know? But we're not called to be selfish reservoirs. We're called to be a channel of God's love. And so as we think about channels of God's love, it's not we're only going to talk about ourselves. We need to look at some of this love that comes pouring into us and love that can keep flowing out. And in ways that could keep flowing out and why that should keep flowing out. For some opening verses here, turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, I'm going to read verse 12 to 16. John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Jesus talking here to his disciples. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Greater love hath no man than this. This is Jesus talking and expressing his love to us, that we need to love other people. Now, there's two reasons given in verse 16. He says, I've not chosen you, but you, ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you. Here's reason number one, is that ye should go and bring forth fruit. Ye should go and bring forth fruit. That's that love flowing through us. And that love flowing through us and showing that to other people in many ways. We want to consider a number of different points here tonight of ways that this love flows in us. We can't really separate tonight God's love flowing in us and our love flowing out. We need to talk about both to make to get the whole picture. Well, at least a rounded picture, the best we can tonight, time-wise. But he says that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that love flowing out, and that fruit should remain. I see in there that it should be fruit to everlasting life. It should be fruit that's going to make a difference in eternity. It's a fruit that's going to make a difference in somebody's life, and that could affect them for eternity. That could encourage them to eternal life. Bring forth fruit. Another verse that we want to consider, first of all, before we go into the practical part of it, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it asks us a question. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. Let's consider the second question. And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? So what do we own? I hope I'm not crisscrossing into the next message, but what do we own that we haven't received? So think about God's love. All that we own, we can call a blessing from God, okay? And he says here, now, if thou didst receive it, okay? If we consider the fact that we receive these things from God, why are we boasting about the fact that we have these things? These things have been given to us to pass on. It's just a channel. Remember that, friends, tonight. It's just a channel flowing through us. God's love needs to flow through us. It's not a selfish reservoir. So as we have received these things, these love of God, these blessings, how can we show these things to others? Just number points, five or six that I jotted down of ways that God shows his love to us and we can pass this on to others, being this channel that God can use. I think the greatest way that God has showed his love to us is that he sent Jesus to lay down his life for us. Lay down his life for us. You know, we read here in John 15, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then Jesus says to his disciples, he says, you're my friends. And so I think he would love to tell us that tonight too, that since we're the friends of Jesus, he was willing to lay down his life for you and I. There was no greater love. Why was that the greatest love to us? It's because without that, we would be doomed for eternity. We would be lost for all eternity. First John chapter 3, I believe it is. Just came to me now. Let me just pull it up here. First John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And through Jesus Christ, friends, tonight we could be called the children of God. That is the powerful love that God has shown to us. He laid down his life. Galatians 2:20 ties right in here as we consider this love flowing in us. God's love laying down his life, are we willing to lay down our lives for others? Is that flowing through us, God's love in laying down his life? Galatians 2:20 says this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The life that we live, if we have been crucified with Christ, it's no longer our life. It's no longer me. It's no longer what really interests me and those things that mean so much to me. It is God's love flowing through and laying down our lives for others. What does it mean to lay down our lives for others? It's okay to give up my opinions and my thoughts and suggestions to the brotherhood. It's totally okay to do that. It's okay to go out of my way in different ways of helping somebody. It's no longer my agenda. Okay? When I was ordained a number of years ago, I thought, well, life is pretty much going to continue the way it's going to be, you know? And, there's meetings and there's some preaching to do, but, you know, and it finally frustrated me because I wasn't able to accomplish everything I was before. And God says, well, I didn't call you for that. I called you for something different. You need to lay down your life for it. Okay. You know what? Our lives, let me hasten on to say it. It wasn't just a once and done deal, okay? It's a continual battle, okay? We need to remind ourselves. But it's no longer our lives. Now, you might say, well, I'm not called to the ministry. You've called to a number of other things. You've called to lay down your life in many other ways of just giving up what you would like to do if there's a need, okay? Lay down our lives. I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer me living. It's Christ living in us. So how do we view our life? Are we willing to lay it down for others? Are we willing to lay it down for others? Another one of God's loves that he has poured into us is his mercy. Okay, God's mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is simply not giving us what we deserve. Okay, that's God's mercy. We didn't deserve eternal life. We didn't deserve to be redeemed from corruption. We didn't deserve to be born into a Christian home if that's where you were. We didn't deserve all these things. But love flowed in us. And you know what? He's reaching all that love to everybody else. So let's not pat ourselves on the back and that this is what we can glory in because of God's love in us. No, whosoever will may come and be part of God's family. But you know what? You and I chose tonight. Doesn't make us any more special in God's eyes necessarily. But his mercy, not giving us what we deserve. And let's think about that. So that was poured into us. And so how's this flowing out? How's this manifesting in our lives to others? Or are we like this man that was forgiven much and then he turned around and he met somebody that owed him a little bit and he forgot all about the mercy that God had shown him and he demanded something from another person? Oh, God forbid we do that. That shouldn't be our lives. Are we living a life of mercy? You know, if we don't show mercy, I think we have forgotten the mercy that God has shown to us. None of us are worthy of the mercy God has shown us. Are we showing that to others? There's so many different ways and so many small ways. You know, it's something that the world is not used to. Okay? It's something that the world doesn't understand. And like I said at the beginning, this love flowing in, it can flow to anybody. It's not just our family. It's not just our church people. It's not just our acquaintances. It's the lost out there, our customers, and wherever whoever we meet. Are we merciful? Or are we demanding? Are we demanding? You know, again, back to that story that Jesus was telling, that was a story about forgiveness there. I understand that. But when this person that was forgiven was brought back before his Lord, and his Lord was wroth with him and called him a wicked servant, he says, did you forget what I just did for you? And God would ask us the same thing if we don't show mercy. And it's easy for sometimes for us to think those people that is really hard to show mercy to, okay? Let's just be honest. There's people that are hard to love. There's people hard to show mercy to. But, you know, they need it too. And you and I were just as ugly one time. But God and his mercy flowed in us. And may it just flow out to others. And through that, remember, this is to show the world. This is to show others of God's love. It's not all about us. And they might just catch just a little bit more of the glimpse. And we can, if they comment about it and they talk about others that are showing the mercy, you know what? But God's, we have that opportunity to just to tell us, you know what? God showed his mercy to me. I wouldn't be what I would be if it wasn't for God's mercy. But because he didn't give me what I deserved. Are we channels of God's mercy? One of the other things that blessings and love that God flows in us is his time. You may say, God's time? Yeah, he spends a lot of time on us. Okay? Scripture tells us that. Psalm 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Let me tell you something tonight, friends. That takes time. Okay? Because it says upon the righteous. And the righteous are not only in one spot, they're upon the face of the earth. And I just discovered that there's way over on this side of the continental divide, there's some righteous out here. I see God's people here. And his ears and eyes are open here as well, and in many other places upon the face of the earth. And I consider that God giving of his time. Time and God doesn't quite mix, but you understand what I'm talking about? He shows that to us. Psalm 139, verse 17 and 18 tells us that God's thoughts toward us are more than we can number. Okay? They're more than the sand of the sea, and his thoughts toward us are a lot more than that. And so, just humanly speaking now, let's think about that as you know, when we think about somebody, we're taking time to do so. And so God's thoughts to us, and it's not just a few of us, okay? I'm not sure how many are here tonight, but it's not just a few of us. This is just a portion of the righteous that are upon the face of the earth. And his thoughts are innumerable towards everyone. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord to run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. God does that. He's looking for opportunities to bless his children. You know, and so he blesses us. And so in various ways, and sometimes we get wrapped up in these blessings and we get busy with them. But do we think about this? What God has done for us and the blessings that he has in his thoughts towards us and the ways he has helped us. And do we give of our time? Do we give of our time? And I'm not just talking about serving in a mission someplace else, okay? Years ago, I pulled out of a church parking lot. It was some apostolic church in the community. I'm not sure. I think I'd met somebody there, whatever the case was. But as I was pulling out, on the backside of their welcome sign, it says, "You are now entering the mission field," okay? And I thought stuck with me, because that should be our thought. We are now entering the mission field when we leave our homes. Well, no, wait a minute. That's a mission field too. When we leave a church house, okay, and wherever we go, it takes time. It takes time. And in various ways, we could go a lot of practical ways with this. A lot of practical ways. Time to listen to people. Time to listen to people. And you know, I don't know where you're all from, okay? So I'm just going to speak as if I don't know you, which I really don't either. So, you know, it actually makes a difference on how much, in quotes, time people spend on others. Depends on what community and culture and maybe even state that you live in, okay? I don't think it should be that way, but I've lived in a place where the push was on and time was money, and you didn't even wave to people as you drove by, because they kind of looked at you funny, wondered what's wrong with you, you know, and the push was on. And how much time do they really have? Well, somebody from one of those communities was visiting in a different area where it was a whole lot more laid back and easygoing, and people stopped by to visit as you're shopping and et cetera, you know. And he was hustling about the store, you know, and getting the stuff together. And he met one of The man he went out shopping with that came from that local community, and he was over there talking to somebody, and he's not getting his shopping done. And then he says, "All right, grab me. I'll grab your list, and I'm going to go get some of your stuff." He comes back. He's talking to somebody else. And finally, the first man says, "Look, Tim, we need to get the stuff. We need to get our shopping." Hey, these people needed a listening ear. Okay, these people need a listening ear. Now, it doesn't always work for us, okay? But let's think about that. Do we have time to listen? Have time to listen. And it was a good reminder for me, moving in the community we did in South Mississippi. Neighbors stopped by that I'd never met before. Well, they wanted to know where I'm from and a whole list of other things, you know, get it acquainted type of thing. And then he stood there and talked to me for a long time. And it was like, I got my boys are waiting back there in the shop. I got work to do, you know. But he had no rush, no rush in the world, no care in the world. We got to get acquainted, you know. It was a good reminder for me. How much time do we have? Your mothers might be busy in the home, might not have time for those neighbors as much as you do. And there's times, you know, time where we have to simply excuse ourselves. Absolutely, you know, that's okay. But let's think about it. How much time do we take? What has God done for us? Are we simply a channel of the 24/7 that God has given us, right? To be a blessing, to be an encouragement, to be able to serve in our families, in our church, in our communities, and at the work, wherever it is. Do we take time for it? Because God does that for us. God does that for us. God has blessed us with His Word. God has blessed us with His Word. And that is another powerful way that God shows His love to us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here talks about how we need, this is flowing through us. His Word is flowing through us so we can share it with others. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. We'll start there. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." All things are of God. All these new things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God has given us this Word. Okay? He has reconciled us through Jesus Christ. He has reconciled us to Himself, that we could be His children, that we can walk with Him, that we can know Him, that He can be our Heavenly Father. He has given us that, and now He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ, this is the message, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Now that's mercy. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though Christ did, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. The word of reconciliation. We have understood the word. God has given us that. The more we understand of God's word, the more responsible we are to share this with others. And many opportunities that we have, this has flowed in us. We've been reconciled unto God. And so we've got this message now, this word of reconciliation, and we can point other people and say, you know what? God did it for me. He could do it for you. And here's how He can do it for you. What a blessing. What a blessing. So we have the word, His word that He blesses us with, pours into us. We can pour that out to others. Again, not a selfish reservoir. There's a lot of people that have this understanding, I've been saved, I've been born again, Jesus saved me, you know what, I'm going to heaven, and that's what Christian life is all about. It's just because He saved me from eternal damnation, He loved me so much, and I'm going to go to heaven, and that's where they stop. It's a selfish life after that. Friends, tonight we've been given the word of reconciliation, and we can share that. Let that pour through us into somebody else. Into somebody else. And of course, we can talk of our many material blessings. Many material blessings. Turn to 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4, verse 9 or 10. Here he says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Manifold grace of God. Before we talked about his mercy, okay? That was not giving us what we deserve. God's grace is giving us what we don't deserve. Okay, is giving us things that we don't deserve. That's his grace. And so we have this manifold grace. We have received this gift of grace. We have received many gifts. Verse 9, he talks about using hospitality one to another without grudging. Is that difficult? It is sometimes. We can just admit that it is sometimes because of the effort that goes into it. But it's not only this side that does the hospitality part of it. It should be this part as well. Absolutely, in many different ways. And it's not only hospitality we're talking about tonight. We have received many material blessings. Okay, it's a hospitality literally in the fact of receiving people into our homes is a way of sharing these material blessings. These material blessings. And you know, it's not only in our homes. It's in many ways. Those things that we have received poured into us. You know, we receive those things. And so yet we tend to glory as if we hadn't received them, as if, you know what, these have always been mine. I work for these and these are mine. And so you mean I need to give those to others? Yeah, that's right. That's right. We haven't received those things to be selfish with, those many material blessings. So many opportunities to do it. So many opportunities to do it in various ways, whether it's in monetary ways and so many opportunities that we have that way, or it's simply our homes. I talked about having our homes open to people coming. And you know what? You know, it's easy to do that with people that we know, people that we're comfortable with. They're people we don't know necessarily, but people that, you know, God's people, right? And that's where it's easier to do. But how many of your community people have eaten at your table? How many of the town drunks have you shared and been hospitable to in various ways? How many seeking people have been in your home, been in your office at work? How many opportunities have we had? We need to remember that you and I were sinners. We're simply saved by God's grace, not giving us what we deserve. We've been saved from that. And by his precious promises, I think that's 2 Peter. In verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Friends, tonight, I don't know about you, but I have escaped a lot of the corruption that is in the world that comes from lust. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. And it's by receiving his great and precious promises. And then through that, we can be partakers of the divine nature. Let me tell you something, friends, tonight. The divine nature of God is one that pours out his love and his blessings and all these things that he owns. Okay? That he owns, that he truly owns. His delight is, his nature is to pour that out on us and many others, whosoever will. You know, the very ones that crucified Jesus on the cross, that blood that was shed there would have been sufficient to wash their sins away. That's how great his love is to us. He was willing to pour it out, friends, tonight. And that's and we need to take that divine nature upon us. If we have been saved by the grace of God, you know that he puts that divine nature in us and let that pour out and let people see Jesus Christ. Let them see that. You know what? There's a lot of people that won't see it otherwise. There's a lot of people that won't be reminded of that otherwise. Unless you and I do it. Unless you and I do it. Ye are the lights of the world. City that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And so this love is pouring in us. And so these things that God has given us, these material blessings, all these things we have through God's love, are we willing to share that with others? Are we willing to pour that into other people's lives? You know that they can have it. My thoughts go to these poor lepers that were out of sight of what, Samaria or wherever that was, you know. And I should have checked up on that story to get my facts right. But you know what story I'm talking about. And so they went in there and they could hardly believe their eyes. I mean, there's food to eat and places to sleep. I don't know what all they found. And finally they said, this ain't right. This isn't right that we're enjoying all this. Let's go talk to the leaders about this. We need to share this with others. You know, God's love isn't poured into us so we can selfishly enjoy them. It's poured out so that we can show God's love to others. And you know, if we stop and think about it this way, if our life, we read about our life, if we're crucified with Christ, nevertheless we live. We've been dead to sin. We're now alive unto Christ. It's Him living in us. So if our life that we now live is actually belongs to Jesus Christ, divine nature is within us. Let it flow through to others. And let them see that love and let them see that light. And we have so many opportunities in our homes. Let's not, tomorrow I think we're going to be talking about the homes in various ways. It's a powerful way to show love and encourage our family members to do the same. We'll leave some of those thoughts for tomorrow. But encourage them to do the same thing, not only in our homes, in our communities. There's endless opportunities. That doesn't mean you have to serve at the soup kitchen in town necessarily. That's okay if you do, if the setting and conditions are right. But there's so many other opportunities to show God's love in our communities. And friends, let me tell you, remind you something. That's why God placed you right there. That's why you are placed in the community you are, to show God's love right there. And it's so easy for us to think elsewhere. No, we're in our communities for a reason, for the very reason to show God's love to them. And it's our workplaces. Is it the drive to see, to crank those things out? You know, we need to look at those profit and loss papers, and we need to make sure that those look right and the numbers are big. No, I trust that's not our drive, friends. Let it just be another opportunity. We're here to serve the Lord. That's the only reason we're here, and to share this love with others. And so may your workplaces be an opportunity of showing God's love in so many different ways. Those customers. So many different ways. And you know, I don't know if you're comfortable with it or not, but I think one thing that we can do, that we should humbly do, is, you know, sometimes if people realize and they feel that we have time for them, there's times that they all of a sudden start opening and talking. Okay? I was talking about that before just a little bit. But think about that. When they sense that you actually have a listening ear. You're beyond just the figures on the paper and the business deal you're fixing to pull off here. You actually care about them and who they are. Then all of a sudden, things start coming out. They haven't found anybody else yet, possibly, that's actually going to stop and listen to them. And take time to listen. You know, listening is a good way to be a conversationalist. Did you know that? Okay. We need to do that. If we do all the talking, somebody else got to do the listening. It's good if we actually listen and pay attention. And they just may want to pour that out. May not want any answers, but they just want a listening ear. But you know what? There is a totally appropriate time to just say, do you mind if we pray together? Do you mind if we pray together? I hope you're comfortable with that. Because brethren, especially the brethren, and especially if we have men in our office or wherever it may be at the workplace or anybody in town that we meet and we're not making a show of it. But you know what? It can do powerful things in touching those lives and let that love flow through them. We have those opportunities. Do we show these opportunities? There's probably a number of Dean brethren here this morning. You know, we can apply it right there. And you know what? Our congregations expect us to show that, all these things and many other things that we can probably talk about, God's love, they expect that from us. But let's truly be that way. Let's be compassionate. God is that to us. He's merciful. He shows grace to us. He shows, let that just flow through us, that people can tell that we are compassionate. We're not just there to preach the word. We're not just there because we're standing, you know, we're the leaders of the congregation. No, we're the servants. We're the servants. Let that love flow through us. Let that love flow through us. You know, friends, tonight, we are so blessed. We are so blessed. We have so many opportunities. We can talk about many more. But we're going to close with this verse. Close with this verse out of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May God bless each one of you.